Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is Amalyn with Channeling Amalyn, an organic process created by me for me, Amalyn, in a way to align with my highest expression of self. Basically, this is my inner work. I started the podcast for accountability quite a few years ago, and I'm continuing it because the process works. I have ebb and flowed with my consistency in doing my inner work. Though I do it throughout the day and those kind of things, like just here and there, meaning I'm asking myself questions and reflecting on what would be the highest good for me. Being able to do it at a time away from everybody, not in my active life, but processing outside of my active life is very helpful. I do not want to do it every day. Even today, I'm like, meh, I could skip it. I guess it's kind of like if you had like date night or something with your relationship that you're in, you go, you know, each week you're enjoying it, it's fine, and then you're like, oh, I just don't feel like going today, right? And then today feels like next week I don't feel like going either, and then pretty soon that intention that was meant to bring you closer together just isn't happening as often, and so there you don't have the bonding time. Well, the same is on an aspect with yourself. If you're not spending time and getting to know yourself and working on your program, I guarantee you somebody else is, right? If anything, it could be an institution or a project out in the world that's just trying to get followers, just trying to get people to support their ideology and support their purpose. And there's nothing wrong with influence. I definitely want to influence the teens and young adults of the possibilities of Web3. But when you know who you are and what you're doing, you're not distracted by the influence of others. There you go. So, in this podcast, I tell you what I'm going to do and then I do it. And, basically it's like a ritual. I'm really into, trying to find things that move humans. I want to impact a lot of humans and of our future generations. So just observing, you know, the species of humans. It doesn't matter necessarily or specifically about culture or things like that when you look at the universal truth. So I've been kind of looking into that. And I use all of the knowledge that I have to draw out my wisdom from my experiences. I use visualization, imagination, and creativity. That's my process. That's what I want to bring to the teens and young adults, is the imagination is the space of new information. In education, we follow, right? The industrial line, the workforce, the conveyor belt, productivity. But basically, one does something that has an idea. They got that idea, but then we just, you know, spread it to everybody else, and they just follow and duplicate, duplicate, duplicate. There is a definite impact that makes and a purpose in the world. But I know that our future, especially with the opening of narratives and not just being this way or that way as a way of being, but you could be this way and that way, then we need more imagination. And imagination is how I live on the day, right? I'm inspired by information out there, but I bring forth new information that's not necessarily there. It could be just pattern finding within the information and creating something new out of something old. Or it's like downloading new ideas, right? A new song, a new art, a new ideology, a new whatever it is, possibility. That's imagination. Our youth can learn the skill of imagination to become creators rather than replicators or followers. The other thing is visualization. Now, that's how I get my information, is in pictures, images. It's like the metaverse is real, and I can go into the metaverse, and I can see all these things, and it's just like the world. You create meaning from what happens. It's not reality. It's the meaning that you make that gives you your experience. And so in my visualizations, I just see stuff, right? I can say it's imagination. There's all kinds of stuff, but I just see image. It's not the image that's important. It's the meaning that I make from them. The meaning is the story. The images just trigger those meanings, right? Whenever the world gives me something, my triggers or how I react to it is a way to see my programming. So in my visualizations, I get pictures, they trigger me to think something, just like in the world, something out there triggers you to think something, and then you have an emotional response, right? Whether it's in alignment or not. That emotional response is kind of that beacon light. Beep, beep, hello, hello, especially if it's a negative one. I love to know my great emotions and what is driving them. But what if I have a negative response, what's driving that? Okay, so visualization helps me get to that awareness. It's like the tool that I use. And then creativity is how I explain it. I'm a narrator. Again, I'm getting something from within, and all I'm doing is watching and speaking out. I process externally, so I speak when I'm processing. That's kind of why I ramble and I say things that don't always make sense, but just stick with it for a while. We'll get there. But creativity is how we as humans express. So with our future opening up and all these possibilities we're going to have, you're going to have to create something new, right? And however you get it, I don't think everybody does visualization. Some people get emotions, some people, whatever it is, but you receive something. And then how do you creatively incorporate it or integrate it into your life expression? That's it. That's the whole thing. The metaverse is basically just a space where the teens and young adults can start expressing and creating and doing all this stuff where people aren't interfering. Meaning, those that would like to harness the energy of the teens and young adults often want to do it for their own good, not for the good of the teens and young adults, right? This space is in honor of them. It is theirs. Nobody touches it. We can play with them outside of the world, and support them and all kinds of stuff, but their world is their own. Right. So, that's a creative way to allow them to have the space to play without the survival narrative coming in. Yeah, so I'll get distracted of a lot, but here's my process in is visualization. So I sit with myself, spend time with myself. I keep about an hour open for it. Sometimes it could be less time, some more time, but my audio cuts off at an hour. It's I use Anchor. But there's an AI tool that I'm going to be moving into because if you notice, I don't do any editing at all. If I tried to edit, I would never do my inner work because then I'd be more focused on editing. But it could be used as a post, to create consumable wisdom. Emily, you ready to do this? Okay, so the first thing we're going to start with is my breath. I breathe in for a count of four, hold it for a count of seven, breathe out for a count of eight. I teach this to my students too, just in a way of regulating their physiology, right? If your emotions or the feelings get intense, breathing will bring it down. If your brain gets running and chaotic, your breathing will bring it to center. If anything's like off, go to your breath. It's the one thing that humans all have, okay? I'm going to breathe in for a count of four, hold it for a count of seven, breathe out for a count of eight. Then I pull up my visualization, which is me sitting in the base of a tree. There's the roots that go deep into the earth, and those roots hold me into my human experience. I'm having an experience with other humans. I can't be off in La La Land cosmic world all the time. Maybe my next lifetime, but this lifetime I'm a human, right? Next time I can go, woohoo, go off and explore. That's what I try to balance that between human life and imagination exploration. Ground me into the shared experience. And then I have tools that I use in the treetop. So unconditional love, unconditional positive regard is what gets me to imagination. If I'm in resistance to something, it is nothing's going to happen. Right? This is my control issue is in my judgments. It's in this is good, this is bad, this is right, this is wrong. It's the separation. It's when we other people, right? You could do that to your reality, your experience in the world. The more separation that you have, the more separate you are from the oneness. This is simple, right? Separation causes anxiety. It gives you an experience. It's necessary for an experience to have separation. But I guess it's that as a man thinketh, right? And so the experience that you have about that separation is the true one. But we think our automated experience from it is. An unconditional positive regard allows you to bring it together. So there's ideas I don't agree with in the world. Obviously, the ones that separate humans, right? Or any kind of belief that puts a human below another in value. I don't care about behavior. I know everybody's like, what if they murder somebody? I'm talking about the human expression of value. I'm not talking about behaviors that we approve or disapprove in our society or our species. I'm talking about value, right? The value of one a horse to another. Now, we want to use them to create some kind of value. Humans are not to be used to create value. Though we do, doesn't mean that's the intention of the species. All right, so unconditional love, I think we got that. I can't get to the space of imagination. I can't get to the space of bliss in my life. I can't get to the space of success and accomplishment of my goals unless I start removing the separation that exists. The other side of my tools with the treetops, I have faith and surrender. Faith is a road that goes, it's a dirt road. It's a path I must believe in or I will not walk it. It's my journey as chosen by me and I am willing to follow it. I can't give a commitment to something that I do not have faith in. Faith is imperative for my human expression to move forward. It is not only through religion. Everybody that's like, oh, faith, you mean religion? No, I mean faith in yourself. I mean faith in this journey that's in front of you. Belief, right? It will keep you going. You do not have to sell your faith to something else. You can keep all the power of it. And then surrender is surrender anything that's not allowing you to remain on your journey. If you have faith in that journey, everything else is a bye-bye. It's not bad or good. It's just it's not in your focus. It's not in your path. It needs to live its own life while you live yours. If you go meddling over there, then what your faith is in on your path is going to take 40 years, not 3 weeks. You know what I mean? It's like it's just I always say it's just an illusion for yourself. You need to have focus on what your life wants to be. Oh, lovely. They're fixing the pool outside. And I don't know if things pick up. I'm sure the audio is much better that it deletes the background, but I can hear the grinding of on the tile. So the next thing is a white light that goes through my body. This reminds me of balance. The most beautiful expression is in balance, period. I do like the experience of the extremes. It is a experience, but for me, Anna Lynn, mine is in balance. The most productive I am, the most blissful I am, the most in tune, turned on, whatever it is when I'm in balance. The next thing, my ego. My ego is a representation of all my programming, my thoughts, my beliefs, my habits, you know, that makes me who I am today. Now, grateful for who I am today. This is a practice in becoming, so I need to move out my old programming so that I can listen to the new possibilities. Removing my ego allows me to listen. I do struggle with my ego. It's a constant pop in. Let's just say that my defiance was huge against everything, including myself. The more that I'm moving away from the need to make that defiance always there. You know, it's like I'm creating a struggle just so that it could feel like a struggle because that's what I believe life is with that is a struggle. Shoot, there's some wisdom there, Amalyn. Okay, fine. Anyway, but I do struggle with the surrender and with my ego coming in. And you notice it in the process on days that I'm struggling more than not. Some days I'll just be quiet and I'll listen and I'll get it. And boy, it's so much more fast. It's faster and effective when I'm not arguing. But arguing is part of my process too, I guess. It allows me to feel as I'm in the game. And I may not need to do that forever, but right now it's just, yeah. The bratty energy in me. Okay, here we go. I'm gonna use 4-7-8 breathing, get into my visual, and then I just ask what's in our highest good today. I say our because it's always my intention to consider whatever I do in this lifetime. I don't want it to be a negative impact on others. I want it to be in the highest good of all. And I know I've had proof of this. When my intention is to do that, it happens. I have a very powerful intention. Actually, when my daughter said that last night, she said we were talking about what our gifts are, and she's able to manifest anything she wants in her life very easily. I tend to delay it because I'm fighting, hello, with myself a lot of times. But when she said that, I was like, damn, that's true. And I know I could have that ability because I've had proof of it. But this part of me that just wants to, I don't know, meddle. Slows down the process. But again, there's something in amylin that says this is fun. Right. And so R, what's in our highest good? All right. I have nothing today. I mean, I have a lot of stuff going on. And yet, and to be honest, yesterday I was a little overwhelmed because there's a lot of people that I've wanted to play with in the past, and I'm like, please, please, please. Like, it is a little desperate. Like, you're so cool. Will you play with me? I want to play with you. You have so many skills. We could build cool things. And I think that, it's basically I bring to the table the ideas, the possibilities, the resources, the research, those kind of things. But when I see somebody else's gift, well, this is with everybody, with my friends, with my family, with everything. I love people's gifts. They just make me crazy. I'm like, that's sexy as hell in humans rather than, oh, what their body looks like. I get it if their gift is with aesthetics, like their whole gift is to make things beautiful. I get that. And I appreciate that because I like pretty things too. I just, the depth of stuff when it's beyond the surface is what I like. So when somebody has something that took a lot of time for them to cultivate, not just a natural talent, right? Natural talents are cool too, but something that they've kind of spent a lot of time on and got their expression with, I love that. And those were what I call gifts. So, yeah, I probably could improve my gifts if I wasn't in such resistance all the time. I'm such a child. Okay. Let's do this. We're gonna go down and see what happens. Yeah, I have no. All right, breathe. I like to exhale first and empty my lungs before I start the 4-7-8 cycle. And I do it 3 times, and it is one of my most delicious experiences each day. Go. Okay, so what's in our highest good to know today? What's in our highest good to know today? And I'll just watch. Oh, goody. I was hoping this came up. So, okay. So I've always, with Mystic Knight Lima, I've always had this guy figure, right? And I never know what it is. Am I just like, how our society programs us to say, okay, everyone must have a partner? I don't know if it's that aspect. It is a masculine energy and it does have a beard. And I'm actually attracted to men with beards. That's a side note. I don't know if this is romantic or anything. I definitely don't want to push that energy because I want the support for what I'm doing. But the energy of this being essence has kind of followed me since the beginning when it comes to Mystic Nyingma and Zircon and everything. But it was never like a presence that I could, I don't know how to say, tune into. But I know it's supportive, and I know that it's, but it's not like saving. He's not coming to save me in any way. He's coming to support me. He has, his disposition is quite calm. Like when he puts his hand on my shoulder, I felt that it's almost like a fatherly energy. Like, I got you. This is cool. You know what I mean? It's not like I'm gonna save you or oh my gosh, poor baby or anything like that. It's a thing of confidence. It's a hand assuredly on my shoulder. Like, you got this. But it's like his role is such a constant presence. That I'm moving closer and closer to him in my imagery. Like I'm more about him is popping out, but I don't know what he is or what part he'll play, but I'm open. And this image is let me remove my ego because I'm like, tell me, 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 tell me. Like, if you've ever had a mystery, I don't know me, I'm always looking for the mystery. So I'm popped out. I got out. When I went, tell me, tell me, they were like, okay, if you're not going to listen, then. Oh, that's his energy too. He's very much patience and just waits for me. It's like a hamster on a wheel. I'll just be on the wheel and he'll just be standing there, not doing anything, not scolding me, not like come on faster, not anything of direction. It's almost like a watchful eye. And then when I get off this hamster wheel, it's like, okay, now what? I don't know how to explain this because I haven't met this type of energy in real life. Not of this quiet strength. It's either the male energy that I'm used to is either a lot of bravado, the whole maybe charismatic, but there's a lot of force behind it. It's not a natural quiet force. It's a loud alpha. It's like I'll scream and you'll know that I'm here. Where this is a very quiet. It's almost like I'm not the lead, meaning I look to him with a glance of like, not validation either, because I know it within me. Anyway, I'm gonna go back inside, so I'm gonna see. But like, I feel it. This is what's so weird. If you can feel a presence when there's nothing there, like there's nobody. I don't have a man in my life that's very much a part of this, other than like Aaron or CK, I keep thinking of, and then some of the people with skills that I'm playing with, but I don't have one that's like, yes, Zircon, let's do this, or anything like that. So I can't like put a face or anything. It's like, I don't know who this is, but I don't know if it's in my life presence because I don't feel his energy in my day-to-day life. I haven't felt that energy from a person necessarily. It's in my vision. It's an energy that's coming, but not there yet. Like there's something I have to figure out first or something. And then, it comes. That's so weird because it's so not true. It's just like my imagination, right? But I know it. I know it. I feel it. It's there. And, I don't know where it's coming from. And this is where I'm out. I'm not in right now. I'm out. I'm in the Amalyn very much right now when I'm speaking. But the Amalyn perspective, when I have this energy, right, I want to make it happen. So I would probably go and be like, is it you? Is it you? Is it you? Is it you? And I would be like poking at the male energies in my life to see if they return back to me this energy that I'm looking for, right? The energy that I've seen. And it's like, do they have it? Do they have it? Do they have it? And that is not my role. I am not supposed to force an unfolding. Because what I tend to do is I tend to find something and make it happen so I can have the control over it. This is what happened with my understanding of my relationship with love. I try to create love so that I can have that experience, but it's not true. It's just the experience. How do I say? It's an experience. I'm in control of the unfolding. I want to have it, but I want to have it in my way, right? It's not like, ooh, here's how it came to me. I'm like, ooh, let me get it, but I want to make sure it gets in this way. And that is not how I am to receive. That is a very skewed way of receiving. It's like I'm only taking the little tiny end of the crumb because the big piece had something on it that I was like, ew, I don't want that. But I left all the value behind. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. All right, let's get back in and see what this energy is. Because it is coming up all the time. When I woke up this morning, it was like right in my face. And I was like, oh, okay, I can feel it. It's not like an anxiety driving energy. It's a I want to know. I want to know. I want to know. Where are you at? Where are you at? Where are you coming? Blah, blah, blah. Why are you here right now? What does that mean? You're here today. You weren't here yesterday. What does that mean? Those kind of things. All right, let's get a breath and get back in. Woo, my ego. It's the excitement of it that kind of pulls my ego out too, because it's like I have a forward lean. Forward leans make me metal more than indifference, I guess. Obviously, that makes sense. Breathe. My high is good to know today. What's an R high is good to know. Ah, yep, there he is. Okay. Listen. All right, I'm trying to listen. Something about the polecat or the what is that ferret that I've had these before when I was a kid. We used to raise them or like breed them. But there's this cat. That represents some kind of energy, and it's that frantic jump, 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 jump. And he's having me watch the polecat. He calls it a polecat, which is weird because I call it a ferret. But I know what a polecat is. I get it. But it's just weird coming out of his mouth. He didn't say it that way, but thought it. Polecat. Okay, so what's up with the polecat? It's the energy of the polecat. Got it. And the significance of this. That's how he kind of sees my energy. So as I show up, I'm that polecat. I don't know if I take that as a compliment or or a snide. I mean, is it the playful energy? Is it the distracted? I'm a little spastic, something about that, but he sees my energy like a polecat. Okay. Oh, and I see his. You know what? Actually, in an ayahuasca ceremony, I had seen him before as well. This, it's an energy of like animals. There's like an eagle, wolf, bear. Like it's such a these I don't know how to say it. They're the energy's in the face. This is where I receive it. And it's in the eyes of those animals. And he has the eyes of those animals, which is, I don't know, like quiet strength is what I want to say. But there's an assuredness where he doesn't have to prove himself. And then I like it because it feels safe for me. Like I know that, okay, that polecat energy, I can be that way. I'm at his feet as a polecat, right? He's like this big being, and I'm just like all the way around. But I don't feel like, oh, I need to stop that and I need to act this way and be professional and quiet and, oh, my hair's out of place. Like there's this freedom to be the wildness of me because he's not looking down on it, though he's tall and he's big and he's like, this figure. He's not looking down at me. It's like a father with a it's not, I don't know. It didn't let me do that. I was going to say a father with a child, but it wouldn't let me say that. It's not a father with a child. It's a supportive energy that I wish I had as a child, as a fa oh, from a father as a child. Oh. Oh, I get it. I'm just going to take a breath because I felt that like deep, right? It like jarred me. I'm going to remove my ego because Amelin doesn't want to go any further. I felt that go, nope, nope. Okay, hold on. All right, let's go. Okay, so this is the energy that was strongly desired or expected in growing up, the feeling of being safe. Yeah, and there's something about the feeling of being safe from me being wild, like. I don't know how that explains it. It's like I'm allowed to be wild, but it's a I'm protected being wild, if that makes sense. Like a sheep dog. Gives me sheep dog energy. I don't know. Okay. There is a vulnerability here. That's what I tuned into, is I right away got hit with a vulnerability. And my desire is that vulnerability is matched by the security. It's so funny that his arms are so, like, I'm little, like, he's so big, like, his shoulders almost come to, like, the top, not shoulders, but, when it crosses his arms, his forearms almost come to my head, like right to my head, but he's very big. It's so funny because I have no, I'm just Amelin, right? I'm gonna have to move my ego, but like I have no vision of the face, and it's like I'm always, when I look at the being, it's mostly energy and a black cloak, right? So it's all dark cloak, and I like keep looking up at the face. Like, I'm just gonna get it, like, it's gonna catch the light or something, right? And I'm gonna be able to see something. But I can almost get close enough to see, like, the thing on its eye. So as he turns, the light shines on his face enough, or the where his face is, it's not really like boom on his face, but I can see almost the indention of his eye where it comes in when he looks to the side, and that's it. Like, there's no physical features other than the beard. And I don't know if the beard is beard or just a really strong jaw, but it looks like a beard. And I personally have a desire. I like beard, so I think I might have superimposed. Mr. Potato Man. My unknown figure. I'm like, yep, pop, we'll just put a beard on you. I don't know if it does or not. It's just something that I'm seeing that I add these little elements in my meaning making, right? Okay. Yep. All right, I guess I'm supposed to listen because he's standing there, like Mystic stands there, and it's like, when are you going to listen? Okay, I'm gonna listen. Hold on. Okay, what do you want to say? So it's almost like he's putting his hand on my shoulder. The hand on the shoulder is a big thing. I guess that's how he shows his presence and his strength, is just his like heavy hand. So he puts his hand on my shoulder, but he's looking at me and he's looking down, like he's looking in my eyes, but I can't see. Like, when I'm looking up, I'm not able to see any of his features. Again, it's just this shadow kind of thing. But he's leaning down to me, like he's coming to me. I'm not afraid. I'm not intimidated. I'm expecting it. Like, I'm like, okay, like, coming in, but I'm not going towards him either. It's like when he's coming to me, I'm like receiving. Oh, receiving. That's frustrating. I have to admit, I have made forced things always to happen in the past because then I was in control of it. Where when something comes to me, sometimes I feel that it's not what I want. It's just, oh, but I'm not always happy with what I want because it's what I want from my programming. It's not what I need. Oh. Well, that's true. Yeah, absolutely. My history is full of things that I want. Not 40 years or 3 weeks, Emmeline. All right, fine. We'll do the 3 weeks. Okay. So, So it's a receipt. It's not something I can force. It's not something I can like make happen. Like, okay, so I already see my program is I have this feeling, right? This energy that I see coming towards me or something. I will find somebody and place that energy on them, and I'll pretend that they are that energy until I realize they are not, and then I just need to get away as fast as possible. It's like when I try to control things, it's like I'm using my environment, the people, the places, the things, like Legos, and I'm trying to make them be certain things that they're just not, but they're stand-ins for me. It's because I don't have the patience of wait for that which is mine to come to me. I try to take something and make it mine. Oh, damn it. Damn, I do this. But it's because I want to be in control of my experience. I feel if I'm not doing it, then it's not really mine. But I don't have faith. Oh, shoot. In what is really my highest good. I do have faith. I don't have faith in my ability to notice it. Oh, I don't have faith in my ability to recognize what's in my highest good because I'm have a habit of always trying to make things that are in my highest good, but then they don't happen because I'm trying to control it. Oh, this is I understand the life experience is what you do to draw out your days. Right? What is the experience that you have over and over and over again? That's my life experience. And this is like an element of my life experience that's so repetitive is I think I'm accomplishing things, but what I'm doing is almost playing with my imagination in the physical world because that which is mine comes to me. I do not have to force it to happen. I don't have to, I take like round pegs and shove them in square boxes because it's the peg that was available at the time and I was impatient and I wanted it now. And this is something that I do repeatedly. And it's like a warning, not a warning, but I guess foreboding to not, because it will delay it. Like, it's almost like, well, this is what you do, and you can do this again, but if you do this, you will have to delay the arrival of what is waiting for you. Well, waiting for me to not hold the space with something that I don't need. You know what I mean? Like, it's like if I put something in this bucket, then what is supposed to be in that bucket cannot get there. I've already put something in there that's not in my highest good, but it's in my safety of my experience at the moment. It's the programmings that I grab something, even though it's limiting, because something is better than nothing. I have zero patience. I fill the nothing with something, but not the thing. Ow, that kind of so true, it hurts. I fill the space of the listen, right? Of the receive with anything. It's almost like an anxiety to accomplish it, to do it, to, oh yes, when I'm controlling, I'm in anxiety. I don't know what to do, and I don't have faith and it will come to me. So I try to make it happen. And then it never happens in the way that I know it's possible. It happens in a small scale of pale comparison, only to be discarded and have to wait again for the real thing. Which then I get impatient. And this is why Zircon's taking so long. I just get a flashback of like 5 years of efforts, and it's like, this is where you didn't listen. This is where you filled it with some other thing. This is where we went for 4 months on one thing that didn't even matter. It's like I can see where I want to control things, and all I do is get in and have a human experience. That's it. It's just, oh, you want to do that? Okay, do that. And then I'm in the same place that I was before. And now I'm more frustrated and I doubt myself and I'm wondering, do I have the skills? Do I have the possibility to do this? Sure you do. Listen and receive. This is the surrender. Ugh, a little bit of me feels like, I don't know. I'm not a teenager. You know what? Eddie says before he used to do this. This is the memory. He definitely has that presence too. Is that he would kind of scold me without scolding me. I don't know how to say that. In respect, he wasn't doing it out of anger or out of anything, but he would just basically be able to tell me, here's the things that you say you want. Here's the things that you're doing, and here's where they're not lining up. And here's an option that you have, you know, very like logically, clearly. And I couldn't argue with him, because when you come to me to fight and I'm a defiant human, forget about it. I'm going to win, because I'm going to win in my mind. Nobody's going to have power over me. But I'm his presence was not to have power over me. It was to help me. He was basically saying, you're acting a fool. And I couldn't argue back, you know, I was just like, oh, like, yeah, And it's kind of like that relationship. Like, he's able to tell me I'm acting a fool, but not in a way that brings out the defiant teenager so much as the part of me that says, okay, I'm not listening now, right? And then the listening and the receiving is how I get what I want, not from the bitch moan whine kicking screaming teenager. I don't know. Now I do feel kind of like a scolded child a little. Just because, you know, it's the silly aspect. Why do I do things that are so silly that make no sense? Because they're a human experience. And it's fun. It's supposed to be fun. It's fun. All right. I'm gonna have to chew on this for a while. I don't know how it feels. It's not, it is a little deflated because it took out my energy of, you know, like the 13-year-old boy that's like, bah, rah, rah, bruh, bruh, like just like that energy that's outward. And then when I get that kind of redirection, maybe I'll say, then it becomes a little deflated. Like I don't, I would feel silly putting that energy back out there because now I know, like a second ago, that it isn't effective. And if I do it now, I just feel silly, you know? It's like, oh, like I have knowledge and wisdom, and then if I go back and do it again, it makes me feel like, I don't know, I'm smarter than that. I don't know. Like, I see it, and if I still go back and not do it, I have to be doing that intentionally, right? I don't know. This is so interesting. It's like a different dynamic of being. I think it, I do feel it. It's like my natural way of being. I have always been the aggressor and the one that is trying to make shit happen. And again, when I get anxious and I don't know what to do or I don't have faith in my ability, that's when I create things. I do. I make it happen. I don't care. I will make it happen. I don't make it happen in my highest good. Because it's driven by an insecurity, it's driven by an anxiety, it's driven by a fear of the unknown, of lack of confidence in self. And I think that that's because I'm going outwards trying to prove something with my expression rather than receiving and allowing it to flow through me. So I'm not listening and receiving and just narrating and expressing that which comes through me. Instead, I'm trying to do something to match the outside. And then when it doesn't give me the inner fulfillment and the outwards expectations are not in alignment, then I know I have been running off of my disrupted energy, disrupted focus, out of my talking, expressing, not my listening, expressing. All right, I'll chew on this for a while. This is not a bad one. It's a challenging one. It's an intriguing one. My it's like a voice in my brain that's like it's like saying like ugh, listening is so hard. Like sometimes when I'm listening to people, I know what they mean. In like a second after they start talking, I know that's not true. Whoa. But I do. Like my brain like goes faster, right? These are the expectations. I think, I assume, based on my past programming, that I could read people really quick and I know what they're talking about, know their resources, and I like finish. I like jump in and ahead. My brain processes faster and I think I'm there. I am wrong a lot. It's the one or two times that I'm right that feels so good. It makes me do it again. I'm like, yes. And it's that element is that I'm being asked to back off on, right? Don't try to create my reality into the future before the reality unfolds. That is where I limit myself. And what drives me to do that is lack of faith in myself. Or to be honest, what it feels like here is lack of support. In the faith in me when I don't have it. Oh, that's it. It's like when I get in the anxiety running around trying to do things, because again, my pain is inside in my being, but I try to do things to avoid pain. That's when I take control. As I'm feeling something that's not a pleasant experience, and I try to force things so that I get a pleasant experience, but a lot of times it's my illusion that gives me the pleasant experience until the reality comes stronger and shows me. It is not what you thought you were creating. You know, you can't make a bird into a horse. I laugh because I always think I can. I don't know where it comes from, but I really do believe that I'm really, really powerful. I can change the outside world and mold it to my being the way that I want. But the more I play this game, the more I'm in collusion with myself. I'm not the one in control. I am the one in control. Meaning the highest expression of who I am, right? I'm just gonna, I'm out. I'm just like flabbergasted a little bit and going, okay. Till next time.